Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. I walk in the studio and Kim goes, "How's the voice?" I'm like, "Well, it sometimes it seems moderately better," and then I open my mouth and this is what you hear, Kim. Sorry about that. We're trying.
Trust me, it's significantly better than yesterday.
Thank you. I'll try not to harp on it too much or be too distracted. You know, I've had this thing for a week now, and last night was the worst night I've had yet. Coughing. I can't stop coughing. I don't know what's going on. I am going to see a medical doctor today for the first time. So maybe he's got some ideas on whether I'm at the end of this thing or he's got to give me some medicine of some sort.
Steroids.
Maybe that'll help. I don't know.
This is when Dr. Green will not help you.
No, this is not. This is the other doctor, the other type, to see me today. It's going to be too cold to golf, I think. Anyway, that's the last thing I need, is to be outside in cold air, probably with my throat sounding like this. Hey, what a day yesterday, huh? The Daniel Penny case. He's acquitted of all these charges. I never would have believed it. I didn't think a jury in Manhattan had that in them. I got to be honest.
I was surprised by it, too. And then I love seeing the video of him celebrating out at the bar, and he and his attorneys just look so happy,
and
as they should be.
Some of the reactions afterwards from the BLM people, we're going to play those for you here coming up in a few minutes, but it's just disgusting. Race had zero to do with this. Zero. Daniel Penny is a hero. Jordan Neely was a mentally ill criminal who came on board a train and threatened people, and Penny eliminated the threat. He should be celebrated for that. But the BLM people only make money in their scam when they can gin up racial politics or racial aspects to it. And Daniel Penny didn't care what the guy's skin color was. He was threatening to kill people. And fortunately, he had a skill set that he could protect people. And they ought to put a statue up of him in New York City somewhere instead of dragging him through the mud. And next, Alvin Bragg needs to go. For even allowing this to happen and kind of feeding into, you know, his leftist tendencies, because that's the direction he's always going to go with these prosecutions. And it's kind of sad. Now, on the other side, they caught a suspect in the killing of the CEO from United Healthcare. And all you need to know is that he's another example of the white liberal guilt in this country. This kid got broken in a system that led him to believe he should feel guilty for the fact that his family was well off, that he was privileged, is the word the left likes to use.
Do you think that's really was at play?
I
think he became an activist probably in college. And it sounds like he read that the Unabomber manifesto it was, and was really impacted by that and just hated corporate America, probably became very liberal. And whatever, I don't know what the specifics were as far as what drove him to want to murder this CEO. I have been convinced up to this point that this was some situation where maybe it was a personal matter, whether it be the estranged wife or some business dealings that Brian Thompson had that were sketchy, because we know there were issues of, or at least allegations of fraud against him and insider trading. But gosh, now it's sounding like, no, this guy was just really angry. This former valedictorian. Have you seen that video circulating around of
his speech? Yes.
Can you imagine being the student who's sitting behind him and watching that guy, your former classmate, now making headlines everywhere?
What a bizarre feeling. Again, though, when an ex-classmate described him as somebody who became increasingly angry and wanting to distance himself from his family's money and success and didn't want to be a part of any of that and went to the opposite extreme and lived in San Francisco and clearly got completely brainwashed by the left at some point that he had a reason to feel guilt for his family's success. And then he apparently just lost his mind. He clearly had mental health problems, hadn't talked to his family in months. They had no idea where he was.
Or his friends,
right.
Sounds like.
Right. But let's focus on the gun. Had to be the gun. It's a ghost gun. That works for Joe Biden. It's a ghost gun.
And he had a suppressor.
He printed it himself.
Well, what, are you not shocked that he didn't ditch the gun? Why? How stupid are you to leave the gun in your backpack?
I'm more, well, first of all, I thought it was a .22 that he did the shooting with. This was a 9mm. I'm also equally impressed to find out you can 3D print a silencer. That is mind-blowing. I had no idea. Why would I go pay $2,000 for one at the gun store?
And wait 6 months?
Well, yeah, you don't have to wait that long anymore, but still. I didn't know you could 3D print one. That's mind blowing. Give me the instructions. That's fantastic. All right, let's get to our top stories real quick, Carl. Please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
In America, we believe anything is possible if we do it together, and that's what we've done. Damn it, we're going to continue doing it. Thank you.
That's what we're going to do. Joe Biden yesterday, one of his final speeches. He's not giving up. This is what we've done. Because if you whisper, it makes it seem more important.
This case, in my view, should never have been brought. And I don't think that even Alvin Bragg would try to get around double jeopardy in this case. I think it would be absurd.
Well, Alvin Bragg is absurd. That was Jonathan Turley explaining what happened in the Daniel Penny case. Part of the verdict was a hung jury, which means technically they could go after him again. I pray Alvin Bragg is not dumb enough to do that.
People want to jump up and choke us and kill us for being loud? How about we do the same?
Yeah, I didn't know that I know a lot of people who are just loud. Some people might say I'm just loud. The difference is when you're loud and you're threatening to kill someone, that is a BLM leader who says he wants people of his skin color to start killing white people.
Nothing can push us down. Nothing can defeat our purpose or in any way damage our spirit.
Yeah, there you go. Kamala, I think she hit the eggnog before she got up and gave that speech. I was watching her. She was a little unsteady on her feet. She was using a lot of the same platitudes that she used during the campaign. When you get knocked down, stand back up. That's a Joe Biden line from years ago.
So, it would have been more effective if she whispered it.
So, yeah, if she just whispered it into the mic. And you can hear whoever is recording the event going, yeah, you go. They were all in for Kamala. That snub of her the other night at the awards ceremony by Joe Biden was one of the most clear-cut examples you can get of how pissed off the Bidens are. And then when you look back at that picture of Jill Biden staring longingly at Donald Trump, the one he's now used in an ad, I would not be surprised if Jill Biden didn't vote for him.
People were saying that, which was pretty funny.
I'll bet Jill Biden voted for Donald Trump because she hates what Harris and that group did to her husband.
Mm-hmm. There was another event recently where it was so awkward because Kamala was standing there and Joe Biden walks up and is greeting everybody around her except for Kamala Harris. This one you're referring to, both she and Joe Biden seemed to just kind of walk and just stare straight ahead. But it was still, you could tell there had to be some tension. But that other event, I'm telling you, it was so obvious that Jill did not want to talk to Kamala Harris.
He walked right past her. He waved at the audience. He looked both directions and never made eye contact with her. It was, his body language was so telling at those Kennedy Center Awards. If you haven't seen it, you got to go look that up. All right, we got a lot of good stuff for you today. We're going to talk to John Lamping, former Missouri senator, coming up here at the bottom of the hour at 6:30. We got Sticks tickets to give away again. We're going to talk to Victoria Coates. She used to work for the Trump administration as a national security advisor, so it's going to be pretty interesting to get her thoughts on the situation in Syria, what's going to happen there, maybe the Pete Hegseth situation. I want to talk to her about that. And Senator-elect David Gregory is going to join me this morning in the 8 o'clock hour. He's the one that has put the bill forward to put a bounty on the heads of criminal illegal aliens in the state of Missouri. We're going to get his thoughts. To my knowledge, it's the first time he's spoken out about it. We'll get him on here in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. Lots of good stuff. But now, Carl, let's get to our national anthem, please.
Mark, we keep getting requests for playing Meatloaf again from the All-Star Game from 1994.
And what they did, honestly, they should go to jail.
Nothing to see here, folks. He just wants to jail his political opponents. But hey, on the bright side, 13 years from now, maybe rebels will be taking a fun sleigh ride on a statue of him. Trump was also... Don't know. Or maybe it'll be great.
Yeah, Stephen Colbert, who just has no problems continuing the left's assault on Donald Trump, this time comparing him to Bashar al-Assad in Syria with the rebels who tore down his statue and dragged it through the streets. And maybe 13 years from now, people will be doing that with Donald Trump's statue. I mean, I'm sorry. What an ass. He is. Colbert can't stand it. He's like the rest of these lefties who now want to attack Donald Trump's character. And they're oblivious to the fact that their party has been attacking its political opponents with lawfare for 8 years now. They've gone after Donald Trump in every possible way they can, either through impeachment or fake criminal charges made up in New York that nobody else has ever been charged with before. Now, I know a lot of that is going away now, but it might not have. What if he had lost this election? I'll bet you he'd be sitting in a jail in Rikers Prison right now. The left hates Donald Trump so much that I believe they would have jailed this almost 80-year-old man because of their hatred of his threat to the altar upon which they pray. That's what's at stake here for the left. That's why they're so angry, in case you're wondering. Big government, all-encroaching government, controlling every aspect of your life, from which pronouns you use to which gender you believe you are of the 72 different genders. Is that how many
72.
We determined there were? Thank you. They need big government to force that down the throats of Americans who might disagree with them. They need big tech on their side to silence the voices of conservatives and declare that whatever their point of view is must be misinformation because it disagrees with our point of view. And Colbert's just he's like a court jester trying desperately to entertain the kings on the left. But nobody's buying it anymore. I mean, it's no wonder why Greg Gutfeld is doing so well in his late night shows, and why the rest of these idiots like he and Kimmel, their ratings are in the tank. Listen to Rob Schneider, the one of the few Hollywood actors who has come out as conservative. He announced on Fox over the weekend, and I don't know how I missed this, but I just saw it yesterday, that he is creating a competitive show to The View.
Oh, I missed that,
too. His production company is creating the show. Here's what Schneider had to say about it.
No apologies, media, at my new company. We're going to do a all-ladies talk show that won't be like The View.
Is it the opposite of The View?
It could be, but we're just going to do a show that it'll be the opposite because this will be entertaining.
Okay.
It'll be funny.
Yeah.
We'll have funny women on it. They're going to tell jokes and have funny stories and health and wellness.
Is the idea to go after The View in the same time slot? Are you going, it's a competitor?
If we're going to compete with them, yeah.
I hope he's being real about that.
No, he is.
Because that would actually be interesting to watch.
He said they start recording. He wouldn't say who the people were on. He said their household names. He said they start recording before the inauguration. So I assume the show would come out then sometime this winter, Maybe February, March, whenever they can get it on the air.
Now, The View is entertaining because it's so ridiculous.
What network would... He didn't say what network it would be on. It would be the other thing. Is it just some random cable network or... I mean, is Fox going to carry it? He didn't say one way or the other.
Good question. I've listened to podcasts now with Rob Schneider because he's come out, you know, conservative in many ways. And he said he's lost many friends and lost jobs over it.
Yeah.
All kinds of things.
Yeah, he was one of the funniest guys on SNL for years, and now they probably wouldn't have him back.
I'm sure not.
For him daring to have a different political point of view than they do. All right, coming up in just a minute. Kim, what are we whimming about this morning?
Well, there's a tweet from a local guy here that's gone pretty viral talking about sports and who should be discussing those sports.
I think I know who you're talking about. We're going to get to that when we come back.
Kim on a whim.
Well, TJ Moe, who some of you might know, he's a St. Louis guy. He used to play for Mizzou, football player, and now he's on Jason Whitlock's podcast, Fearless.
Which I know TJ.
Yep. Nice guy.
Yeah.
And he tweeted this out the other day, and man, has he ruffled some feathers. I just read some article talking about how the tweet's been viewed 23 million times.
Yeah. Not surprised.
It was a picture from over the weekend, and I'm trying to remember which game this was, but it's Holly Rowe, and I actually don't know the other women's names, but it's three women who were standing there, I guess, post-game, talking about it. And his exact tweet was, "Who actually wants to watch three women stand around and talk about football? I do not." He has had so much backlash from this. And what's interesting, though, is I was looking at some of the replies, and he said, you know, yeah, I'm getting a lot of pushback, but about 90% of the women who are replying to me are saying they agree with me.
Agreed with him. Yeah, it's interesting because he, after the outrage, after the original one day later, he said, "This tweet upset a few folks, so let me clarify. No one wants to listen to three women talk football. Men are better at it. It's like asking cats to bark. I issue no apology and no retraction. Most people agree with me. They're just afraid to say it. Carry on with your outrage."
Now, I'm not the kind of person who's just going to go watch a football game on my own, probably, but I do enjoy watching the game. Like, if we have it on, I will absolutely sit down with my husband or friends, family, and watch a game and can get really into it. I actually really like Holly Rowe, and a number of people who are responding also feel the same way, it looks like. I get TJ's point. I do feel like it'd be awkward to have three women like this talking about it because it feels like it's very intentional to make a statement.
So here's the thing. For years, and I mean, I was this close to going into sports broadcasting. It's what interested me when I was first doing it at Miami University in Ohio. They tried to get me to do the color commentary for the Miami University Redskins football team when I was there. And I almost went into that field. And at the end of the day, and I had played football, so I knew the rules and knew the plays and the positions and that sort of thing. I opted to go a different direction. But when you look at the professional sports broadcasters, there have been incredibly successful people who never played the game. In fact, Howard Cosell wrote a book called "I Never Played the Game." And that's my best Howard Cosell. He didn't. Sorry, Carl. He was a sports broadcaster who admitted that while he was very good at what he did, he was one of the best-known announcers for years, he never played the game. So I don't think you can rule women out of sports broadcasting just because there's not a women's NFL league. I don't think that you can. But to his point, though, I don't think there's any problem having a female voice in the mix. His issue was the only thing he had to watch were three women talking about a game none of them had ever played.
Well, that was a comment he made. Was it would be different if it was, say, Holly Rowe and a guy, or two women and a guy. But the fact that it was all three women, none of which have ever played football,
right?
It was a little weird. I agree.
How
you
do
don't
you, feel?
You don't have to have played the sport. I actually do think it's better that you've played the sport and understand it and have experience playing it to be able to actually talk about it. Like women's figure skating or women's gymnastics. It would be weird to see three dudes talking about that if they've never done gymnastics. That's weird.
But they could have done men's gymnastics. And
but
then
that's different. Well, but these women have not played football.
Yeah, but there's not an alternative for that. You see what I'm saying? Like in men's gymnastics, they could have done the exact same thing the women were doing and could then describe what the women were doing. But in the football analogy, there's not a women's football league, really. I mean, there's some flag football leagues out there, and there are a few minor league, for lack of a better term, amateur league, full contact women's teams, but not very many of them around the country. So you'd probably be hard pressed to find a woman who had played the game, if that's what's important to you, if that's the standard.
Okay,
but not so in all sports.
Right. You're right. It's not like there's a women's, even flag football team. We don't play football. Actually, my brother-in-law, his sister played football.
That's my point. There are a few.
They are the exception to the rule.
Yes.
Don't you think it's better, though, when you're having people, if they're the sole people who are talking about it, that you have somebody who actually can speak about their experience in it and they have a better understanding of it? I don't think it disqualifies you from being a sideline reporter or even doing post-game analysis if you haven't played it, as long as you have a really good understanding of the game, regardless of the sport. But I see his point.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing with you. I stand by my point. I just think the problem was you had three people. Maybe, I don't know what prompted them to do that particular thing. Maybe they were short of staff that day or something, but you had three people on the field. There's no reason they can't understand the game as well as someone else. They haven't played it. There may be intricacies of it that they don't understand for that reason. But, you know, TJ's got the guts to throw it out there, and he's right. If you look at his feed, the vast majority of people who commented on there agreed with him.
There's a model. I've never even heard of this girl. I don't even know how you pronounce her last name. Paige something. Professional golfer. Wears kind of provocative outfits. I think she's kind of known for that. She's a model.
Yeah. Yeah.
She got all riled up about this and posted on, I don't even know, Twitter, whatever it was, about TJ's tweet.
You're a woman who wants to work in the sports industry and you have a deep understanding of sports and you're qualified to be there. However, you'll never get the highest opportunities because men only want to listen to other men talk about sports. So use whatever else you have in your toolbox to be able to get opportunities. Maybe that's your looks. As soon as you use your looks, for example, then you're objectifying yourself and no one will take you seriously. But even when you were never taken seriously or given the opportunities because men want to listen to other men talk about sports. It is a vicious cycle. And it's never ending.
I think women are taken seriously as long as you know what you're talking about. Like Holly Rowe, I keep going back to her because I think she's well respected in the industry.
Yeah, I've watched her.
Do you take her seriously if you're watching her?
As a sideline reporter, absolutely.
Right. That's just generally how it works.
That's a different kind of job, though, as a sideline reporter. You need to understand the game. You grab the coach. She's going on or off the field. You're over there listening.
Player updates if they're injured.
Yeah, you're listening in when they're you know, in a huddle or whatever on the sideline. Here's what I heard them talking about, that sort of thing. Yeah, I don't think that's the issue here. It's the person in the booth doing the play-by-play and the color commentary. Which, you're right, I get both sides of this argument. I don't know if but I'll have to admit my bias. I don't know if I'd sit down and watch a game if there were two women in the booth calling it. I just don't know that I would.
I can't think of a game where I've heard a woman doing play-by-play. Have you? Usually the men are doing play-by-play. They're doing post-game analysis with maybe one woman. Usually it's like four or five guys with one woman. They always seem to, you know, you have the one female kind of representative, but sideline reporters are always women.
I don't know if I've heard a broadcast like that. I've certainly heard it at the NBA level. I don't watch much NBA, but I have heard a game or two where they've had a former WNBA player on there doing color commentary or calling basketball games, and I've heard it at the college level a few times. But the difference is they've played the game. Maybe it's not at the level of the game they're calling, but they have played the game and they understand the rules and they can provide insight on what what's going on in the coach's mind.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are coaches who are fantastic coaches who have never even played at the college level, right? They're just
there are a few,
a really good leader
who loved the game, played in high school, weren't good enough to play in college, went on to become great coaches.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting debate, and clearly it's riled a lot of people up. And TJ's not backing down, which I respect.
Yeah,
if you're gonna say something, stand by it. And when the angry crowd comes and starts attacking you for it and everything that you stand for, don't back down. Because too many people nowadays, as soon as the mob gets loud and comes at them, they're like, you know what? I'm really sorry. I didn't mean that.
Yeah. You know who backed down? Matt Gaetz. You know who didn't back down? Pete Hegseth. He's not backing down. In fact, yesterday he was on with Hannity, who flat out asked him about the allegations regarding the woman and the so-called the alleged assault that happened years ago that he was cleared of. And he gave Hannity the same answer he's going to give the senators when they put him in front of a hearing, which is apparently going to happen. And I'm going to play that sound for you, and we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back.
Fully investigated at the time, years ago, and I was completely cleared. And that's why, Sean, you know what I look forward to? I look forward to the FBI background check. I look forward to the actual under oath conversations with senators as we go through the process, because, again, this is what the left does, Sean. It's the anatomy of a smear. They take something, and then they add anonymous sources and contortions and flat-out lies, and then they try to try you in the media before you can even get into the doors with senators. And this is where I give so much credit to President Trump. He's got a backbone of steel. He never backs down. He called me and said, Pete, you keep fighting. And when he picked me, he said, Pete, it's because I know you can do this. You're going to have to be tough as hell. Stare these folks down and stand up for the change that needs to come to the Defense Department for our men and women in uniform. So if he can endure what he's done, Sean, then I can stick up to this lying press and fight on for the American people and our warfighters.
There you have it. Pete Hegseth yesterday with Hannity saying, I'm not backing down a bit. All this stuff's been investigated. There was no there to begin with. And this is what they do in Washington, D.C., this is it. This is what they do. And, you know, Jesse Jane Duff made the point yesterday, and it's not to the same extent, I would agree with her, but Republicans do similar things when there are Democrat appointees that they don't like. They go back and look for controversies they've had in their life, potentially, that might slow down an appointment of some sort. But it's not as bad as what the left does. It's not nearly as bad as what they tried to do to Justice Kavanaugh with the attempt to assassinate his character, which is what they were trying to do, to draw questions to his character from something they had absolutely zero proof of, allegations from 35 or 40 years ago when the guy was in high school. That's how far back they're willing to go with crying tantrums on the floor of the halls of Congress. So I'm proud of Hegseth for sticking it out. I mean, it can't be easy, but the stakes are high. So this is what we're up against, and I'm glad that they're sticking with it. Listen to this one. The left in this country, just like Stephen Colbert, will do and say anything to try and tar and feather Donald Trump or anybody associated with Donald Trump. It starts with Colbert suggesting that Donald Trump will be a dictator like Bashar al-Assad and people will be dragging his statue through the streets 13 years from now. This is what the late night comedian said last night, right? Listen to the CNN panelist who is now claiming that she's afraid she's going to be deported when Donald Trump takes office, even though she's already become a naturalized United States citizen. Go to 13.
I might be deported because I'm a naturalized citizen. And Stephen Miller, who is Donald Trump's deputy chief of staff, has said that they're going to embark on a denaturalization program. So I could be deported. My citizenship could be taken away. And my children could be deported because they have birthright citizenship. So this is not what the country voted for. Let's be very clear. Americans voted for Trump because of groceries, because of lowering costs. He has not talked about that one bit.
I don't even know who that moron is, but it is what the election was about. The problems at the southern border with immigration were one of the top two mm-hmm. or three issues people complained about. It wasn't just the food prices and inflation. It was immigration.
Right.
People are sick to death of it, and they're going to do something about it. And nobody ever, not even once, claimed that they're coming in to track down people who've gone through the process legally and become a naturalized U.S. citizen. That's never been mentioned because that's not the problem. If you came here, you can't become a naturalized U.S. citizen unless you came here through the proper channels.
Donald Trump would encourage that.
Yes.
To a degree, as long as you do it the right way.
His wife is a naturalized U.S. citizen.
And our safety is at risk. We see every week, it seems like there are more examples of where these gangs are coming in and ransacking, going to apartment complexes with, you know, guns. It's a problem.
Not
that needs to be addressed quickly.
Not for much longer, baby. There is a new sheriff in town, and the sheriff's name is Donald Trump. The assistant sheriff's name is Tom Homan, and he's coming. Hey, is the city and county talking about merging again? We're going to talk to John Lamping about it at 6:35.
Get more at 971talk.com.